if they had belonged, if they were truly saved, if they had the Spirit of God inside of them, if they were truly born again of the Spirit of God, then they could not leave and stay away.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. This is Joshua Halleck, your host, here with Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church. We're excited to be in a series called Contrast, Be the Difference. And this passage is titled, Anointed to Stand Firm. Now, Pastor Mark, you've been a pastor for over 25 years. I've been a pastor for 13 years. And we've both seen some people come to Christ very excitedly, and they're just up and down about what God's going to do in their life, and then you never see them again. Or they're around for a couple of months, something gets difficult, and they turn away. And your passage that you're taking us through today deals a little bit about how to stand firm, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, Joshua, all of us will be tested. Every single person listening to me will be tested at times. And it's during those times of intense testing where our faith is under pressure that some people, well, they're going to struggle with maintaining their faith. And John is warning us that times of testing will come. You're either in a test, you're either going into a test, or you're coming out of a test. So if you're not being tested right now, don't worry. It's on its way. Just word of encouragement.
Thank you. Very encouraging.
It is on its way. The encouraging thing about this passage is that John really reminds us that God has given us an anointing. That word anointing is an interesting word, but it really has to do with a God-given unction or empowerment for a purpose. And so during our time of testing, the Word of God promises that God has given us an unction, an empowerment to survive this test. And so we need to know how to tap into that anointing that God has provided for the time of testing. And so this is a very, very powerful passage with some truth that will help you right now in your time of testing.
That's great. Friends, as you listen, you may want to call somebody up and tell them to tune in right now, because this is going to be a time to encourage you to stand firm. We're in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 through 27, and this message is titled, Anointed to Stand Firm.
We're going through a verse-by-verse study through the book of 1 John. Let me just say something about verse-by-verse study through the Bible. If you're new here today, and you just started coming around New Life Community Church, I want you to go and buy a Bible. Okay? You say, well, Pastor, I don't really need a Bible. I just come to the service and listen to your teaching. No, 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 no. Buy a Bible. My teaching's based out of the Bible. I want you to go directly to the Word. I want you to know the Word. I want you to become familiar with the Word. I want you to be able to look up verses in your Bible. I know we have electronic Bibles now. Some of you carry your Bible on your iPhone app or your smartphone app. And by the way, that I think that's a great tool. So there's some great apps out there to download a Bible on your smartphone. That way you have your Bible with you all the time. So if you're waiting in the doctor's office, writing on the L, you just pull it out. The problem is when you pull it out in church, I don't know if you're texting or if you're reading the Bible. So I'm assuming the best of you. So I'm assuming if you have your smartphone there that you are reading the Bible and following along. But I want you to get a Bible, read the Bible, and let me tell you why I do verse-by-verse study through the Bible. Sometimes topical teaching is easier to do because we focus on a topic that's in the Bible. But there's no substitute for verse-by-verse breaking down of the Word of God, because it makes us dig in. How about it? It makes us have to go deeper. It makes us have to deal with topics that maybe are not popular or that we normally wouldn't deal with. But it's the Word of God, and all of the Word of God is powerful to change us, to transform us. So if you want to follow along and really be energized and do your homework a little bit, I'm going to encourage you to be reading through 1 John. It's a very short book of the Bible, only 5 chapters, written by the Apostle John. I told you about him at the beginning of our series. The Apostle John was whose cousin? Jesus' cousin. First cousin of Jesus. John and James They were called the Sons of Thunder. Their mother was Mary's sister. So, therefore, James and John were first cousins of Jesus. How about that to have in your sort of relative gathering? Think about it. John grew up going to birthday parties and gatherings, hanging out with cousin Jesus. And then when he was about, I'm sure he always knew there was something different, something special. Then he started to hang out with his second cousin, who was John the Baptizer. John the Baptizer was the second cousin of John the Apostle. They hung out and saw each other at family gatherings as well. So he became a follower of John the Baptizer, his second cousin. And John the Baptizer was this fiery preacher, long beard, lived in the desert, dressed in camel hair, ate locusts and honey, and just had this fiery, booming message of repent, come to God, I'm preparing the way, because someone greater than me is coming. The person greater than John the Baptizer was his second cousin, Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, he said, he is the Christ, the anointed one. And so John the Apostle from that day on started following Jesus. He wrote several books in the Bible, one of which was 1 John. By the time he wrote 1 John, he was an elderly man, and he's challenging people, believers like you and I that live in a really tough world to live in and keep our faith. He's challenging them not to fall away, to be strong. And so 1 John chapter 2 verses 18 through 27 is he introduces one of the strongest, powerful ropes that will keep us from falling. He talks about something called the anointing. And I want to talk to you about what that means, what the anointing is today. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 2, verses 18. We're looking at verses 18 through 27. I'm going to begin by reading a portion of Scripture that's found in these verses. And you could follow along in your Bible. As I read 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, it says, dear children, and he's not talking about little kids, he's talking about spiritual children. Dear children, this is the last hour. As you know, you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. Verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is a liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from me from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. Word of the Lord. All right. I want to talk to you today about how to prepare for a tough season. How to make sure that in this time that John talks about the last hour or a tough season where many people will fall away, that you won't be one of the people that falls away. How many of you know that when a contest gets tough, it starts to wean out the people that are not committed, the people that are not determined, or the people that can't stay with it? You ever see a marathon when it starts out, the crowd is huge. By the time the marathon ends, the crowd is a lot smaller. Why? Because it's tough. It's long. It's hard. I was talking to a manager of a gym the other day. And we were talking a little bit and I said, hey, it seems like in January, February, man, gyms seem to be really crowded. He says, oh, you can't believe it. He says, January through the beginning of February, the gym is packed out because there's a lot of people that say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to work out every day. So they come, they buy their new little workout fit. They get their new little water jug. They show up in their little tights and ready to work out. They last 3 to 4 weeks. And after that, they stop. By the time that March comes around or April, most of the people that started have stopped. Why? Because it's tough. Because now the real work starts, the sweating, the discipline, the difficulty. They don't remain. They don't stick with it. They don't hang on to it. Listen, the Christian life is a little bit like that. We are in a marathon. I can guarantee you that those that start the marathon, that there will be people that will not make it. There will be people that will fall away. There will be people that will be deceived away, people that will get trapped into the world, people that will choose to follow their own way instead of God's way, people that will let their spirit get lukewarm and just bail out. There won't be people. There's a lot of people that will not finish strong. But listen, hey, I am believing that you will finish strong. My desire as your pastor is I want you to make it. I don't want you to limp across the finish line. I want you to go across the finish line. Oh, maybe with some... maybe you're a little battered and bruised, but I want you to cross that finish line strong. Your faith strong. Your love for Jesus powerful. Knowing that you've run the race and that you have made it. Not one of those that have fallen away. And so John is talking to young believers and people that have walked with Jesus for a long time. And he's telling them, here's how you prepare for this season where many people will fall away. And so I want you to write down, there's three things that he tells us to do. Three things to do in order to prepare so that we will make it across the finish line in the season where people will fall away. Number one, he says, be prepared for a season of testing by recognizing the signs of the time in which many people will be led astray. Notice what he says in verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour. You say, well, Pastor, man, it couldn't be the last hour. It was written like 2,000 years ago, right? That's a long last hour. Well, here's the thing. When he talks about the last hour, he's talking about this is the last season. There's something that happened when at the ascension of Jesus, between the ascension of Jesus and the coming back of Jesus, although it's a long period of time, the Bible always refers to that as the final season. Jesus was raised from the dead, the Bible tells us, and then he ascended into heaven, and his disciples were all looking at him as he left. And the angel said, why are you gaping at him as though he will never come back? The way he has gone, he will return again. So the season between the leaving of Jesus and the coming back of Jesus is always called the last season. It's called the age of the church. It's called the season in which the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light are clashing with one another. In this season, many will come. Some will fall away. Some will be drawn to God. Some won't make it. There is a furious battle for the souls of humanity that are occurring even now as I speak. These are the final hours. And John refers to it that way.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message called Anointed to Stand Firm, which is from Pastor Mark Jobe's series called Contrast, Be the Difference. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 John, chapter 2. We're in verses 18 through 27. His message... Anointed to stand firm.
He says, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. How many of you have heard of the Antichrist? Okay, you've heard that terminology. Many people are fairly confused about what the Antichrist means. John explains a little bit, and you find a lot about it in the book of Revelation, the Antichrist. Obviously, the word itself is descriptive. Anti means against, against Christ. So, he said, you've heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even these young believers had heard that the Antichrist was coming. John broadens the perspective and he says, yeah, there is a person in the book of Revelation in the end times referred to as the Antichrist, an individual that will rise up and lead many people astray, probably a spiritual, political, world leader that will deceive the nations and have a lot of people following after him. And his message will be Antichrist. And he will be charismatic. He will lead many. They will be drawn to him, but he will lead the nations astray. And that's in the book of Revelation, speaking about the end times. He's called the Antichrist. However, John expands on the definition of the Antichrist, and he says there is an individual called the Antichrist, but there is already the spirit in this age of the Antichrist. In other words, there'll be many people that will be little antichrist, so to speak, that will fall away and be deceived as well by the spirit of this age. And he describes who that is. He says, this is how we know it is the last hour or the last season. The way we know it's the last season is that, verse 19, they, who are they? They are the people that will end up being antichrist, the people that will end up being against Christ, that will leave Christ, that will turn away from Christ. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going out showed that none of them belonged to us. Let me just break that down for a minute for you, because this is really important. In Acts chapter 20, verse 29, Jesus said, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. He says, I know. The apostles warned about this. Jesus warned about it. And he said, I know that there will be wolves that will come and try to lead people astray. Wolves, he describes in one passage as wolves with sheep clothing. They look like they're of God, but they draw people away. They suck people in a different direction. The end result is that people influenced by them fall away from God. He tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, he says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there be a falling away first. And the man of sin will be revealed. Speaking of the Antichrist, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. What Paul was saying and what John verifies is that in the end times, the times that we live in, these seasons that we live in, that there will be, not only will there be a massive harvest that will happen in the end time as the light of Jesus shines, but there'll be a massive falling away at the same time of people that will be deceived, distracted, taken from God, people that will abandon the faith of following Jesus and follow after other things that will cause them to turn away from God and deny that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and stop living for him. John is warning us that in the end days, there'll be a massive falling away. It tells us in Timothy that there will be deceitful spirits that will lead many astray. It says that some will be deceived by teachers that just tickle their ears, but they can't handle the doctrines of the truth anymore. The Bible talks clearly about that. That there will be a shaking, falling away. Some that will never come back to God. Some that will be distracted and taken away from God. But this is what he says. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:19, there must be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest among you. There'll always be heresies. There'll always be people that will fall away. Jesus had 12 disciples, and Judas, one of his 12, fell away. The early church, the epistles are devoted to a large measure to people that have bought into false doctrine. or people that have fallen away. Some of the people that walked closely with the apostles turned against them because it became too difficult to follow Jesus. Paul talks about Demas and he says, Demas loved the world more and has left me. He was one of their leaders. Let me say, I want you to know that there is a spiritual battle out for your soul. Amen. There is a spiritual battle to derail you, to take you off course from God. There is a spiritual battle to suck you into the world. There is a spiritual battle to annihilate your spirit in God. We live in a battle that you may not be able to see with your physical eyes, but I can guarantee it is a furious, strong battle to take you off course from your destiny, to annihilate you, to disarm you spiritually, to discourage you to the point that you fall away from God, to strip you of all your spiritual gifts, to tear your faith down so that you no longer live in the fullness of the Spirit, to disable you to the point that you no longer make an impact for the kingdom of God. Listen, every war has casualties. And we are in the final days where that war is blazing hot. And John is talking about it. And here's what John says, and I want you to remind you, he says, listen, there are some that will leave and never come back. And John says of them, he said, there are some that went out from us because they really never belonged to us. What is John saying? John is saying there's some people that come around and get exposed to the doctrines of Christianity, and they learn the culture of Christianity and assimilate some of the truth, and they get enough so that they know, but the root of the Spirit doesn't really get inside of them. They're really not truly born again of the Spirit of God. They come and they can sing the songs and they can learn the language and they can carry a Bible and they have some of the appearances of belonging, but they will leave eventually and they will draw others away from God and the people of God and the community of faith, and they will not come back. And John says they left because they never really belonged to us. If they had belonged, if they were truly saved, if they had the Spirit of God inside of them, if they were truly born again of the Spirit of God, then they could not leave and stay away. How many of you know what I'm talking about today? Listen, there are some of you that tried to leave God. Oh, you tried. You say, I'm so sick and tired of brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. I'm tired of living, failing. No one's helping me. You get mad. You get angry. You get offended. You say, I'm out of here. I'm going back to the old neighborhood. I'm going back to the world. I'm going to do everything I used to do. All that I've had bottled up, all that temptation I've resisted, man, I'm there all the way. And so you go out there. And they say, hey, I thought you're like religious now. No, no, well, I'm that was the old me. I'm kind of back. Oh, great, man. Good to have you back. High five. I thought you'd come back to us. I thought it was just a phase. Yeah, I'm done with that now. You're going to see me a lot more. I'm going to be hanging out with you boys now. We're going to get down like the old days. And they hook you up and you start playing the old game you used to play. And you try to forget about it. And you try to live like you used to live. And you try to go there. And you try to stay there. But here's the thing. When you go to bed at night, well, there's always a nighttime. You got to sleep sometime. When you go to bed at night and you're not passing out, and you wake up, there's a gnawing feeling inside of your soul. There's something wrong. This is not who I am. There's a pull, there's a tug, there's something drawing you back. There's a conviction of the power of the Holy Spirit. There's something telling you that's not who you are. This is not where you belong. You can act like them. You can try to talk like them. You can try to flare up all the old swearing you used to have. You can try to jive like them, drink like them, smoke like them, dope like them, sleep with girls and get all your sexual partners like you used to. But you do not belong there. If the Spirit of God is inside of you, you can't stay there. You can't stay there.
This concludes the first half of Pastor Mark's message called Anointed to Stand Firm. It's from Pastor Mark's series called Contrast, Be the Difference. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.